Despite the COVID-19 impact to the region, there are reasons to be positive about the local economy. Grow Hayes Executive Director Doug Williams talks to us about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast. We've got some cool stuff we're going to talk about today. You had your big economic recap this last week. I believe it was on Tuesday. I thought maybe that would be a good way to start. You know, what's the economy looking like this year for everybody that didn't get to go to that meeting?
Well, you know, I guess the bottom line from that economic recap that we had at our quarterly luncheon on Tuesday was that 2020, in spite of all the negative things that have happened and all the turmoil and chaos in the world, was a really good year for Ellis County. A lot of very positive things have happened, and gosh, we have much to be thankful for.
Do you think it would have been, I don't know how to word this other, just kind of say it, you know, like without COVID, would we have seen the all the announcements and stuff that came out this year, or would we have seen more?
Well, you know, I don't know. I will say that a lot of the projects that have come to fruition in 2020 have been in the works for quite some time. You know, you talk about the Travel Plaza, which the city approved the financial incentives back in May, and they've started on their infrastructure process. You know, they've been delayed some because of COVID, the ability to get materials to put in sewer lines and water lines and all of those kind of things. That's kind of thrown a wrench in things, and so they're a little behind schedule, but they're proceeding along the bypass out there. If you drive out on the 183 bypass, you'll see the activity going on. Our RHID housing project by Heart of America, you know, that was kind of started in late 2019, but was approved by the City Commission on June 25th of this year. And the same situation on that, we are actually starting to see the M&D is putting in some manholes and the sanitary sewer and the water lines. And so we're seeing some activity there. Obviously, the Hilton Garden Inn has opened in the convention center. That's been in the works for a while, but gosh, if you haven't been out there, you need to, because it is a really amazing place. So, you know, some of those things were going on before 2020 rolled around, and so the pandemic didn't have that much impact on those. But then there's been some other things happen that right in the middle of the pandemic that have been terrific, too. So while none of us could have forecast this, really, and we certainly wish it hadn't happened, it hasn't slowed things locally down very much so far.
So far. Well, and that's, you know, that is good news. But, I mean, it sounds like for the most part, you know, the lights on the horizon. You know, we know the vaccine is coming. There's several of them out now. So, you know, thinking ahead towards like 2021, obviously we're going to be impacted. We're living with this for the next at least few months. But do you think 2021 economically is going to be a pretty solid year here in the region?
I actually do. I think we've got the state set to have a strong 2021. You know, some of the projects I talked about will continue to develop and pump some dollars into our local economy. I suspect, whether you like it or not, or think it's appropriate or not, we're going to see some sort of additional stimulus from the federal government, which, you know, the CARES Act was $2.2 trillion that they pumped into the economy in 2020. And it may not be that much this next go around, but I think we can say with a level of certainty that they're going to do something, and that will stimulate economies everywhere. And then, you know, we've got some real positive things on the horizon for 2021 as well. You know, we've got the housing project over in Ellis, that on the south part of Ellis, that I think there's going to be some development down there of another 40 lots. We've got, you know, the Overland Park Group purchased the Washington School building, and they're going to be converting that into some affordable housing. So I think 2021 looks good. I really do. You know, and that's aside from a couple of the big infrastructure projects that locally we have going. The North Vine Corridor project will continue in 2021. The first phase is done now and seems to be functioning pretty well. The roundabout or the peanut at 32nd and 33rd and Vine. And then I believe sometime in 2021, they're going to try and start work on the Northwest Business Corridor. And that's a significant project for our community. So lots positive, I think, and on the agenda for 2021 as well.
Very good. You mentioned the aid, and this is something we've talked about repeatedly, kind of the government COVID relief funds. But, I'm curious, looking back now at 2020 and everything we've been through, how important were those funds to keeping the local economy as strong as it is?
I think it played a big role. Unfortunately, I think it was there was a lot of things that aren't really fair about it. And I don't know how those programs ever are fair, but, the PPP program, the payroll protection program was a great in theory, but it ended up, there are people that have had record years in their businesses and probably didn't need the PPP money. And there are people that have really had a tough time of it, and it wasn't near enough. But how you equalize that and make that right, going out initially and they did all this in about a 2-week period of time, the federal government did. So they're clearly, you can't think of everything in that time frame. But I guess to answer your question, yes, it made a big difference. It made a big difference, those funds, as well as other CARES funds, the grants that have come into the community. Right now the county's working on the CDBG-CV grant, and they've got about $132,000 that they'll be allocating sometime here in the next 30 days, I think. So I think it made a big difference. I really do.
And then looking ahead, to 2021, at this grant package, is there, or the COVID funding, is there putting it together currently in Congress? Do you think that's going to continue to be vital, or is it going to kind of just whittle itself out and really kind of just end up with a flat economy, if that makes sense?
Well, there are certain segments that are flat right now and really down, and I don't know what's going to get them back on their feet, whether it be the hospitality industry or the airlines. Those kind of industries have really been hard hit. And hopefully a vaccine and getting control of the virus will get those kind of businesses back to where maybe they were. But I've said this to a lot of people. I think some businesses are changed forever. The home worker now, so many companies have discovered through this that people can work from home or can work from a place like BriefSpace. They don't need a lot of bricks and mortar. And they can do so effectively and much more cost effectively by doing that. So that has a significant impact on the commercial office space market, particularly in metropolitan areas. But I sat through a seminar yesterday that I thought was pretty interesting because it was about urban migration away from urban areas. And this organization contends that 5 to 10% of the workforce in urban areas want to relocate. They don't want to be in urban areas anymore. And so the question or what they were posing is how communities like ours position themselves to be attractive to those people who are relocating, who can work remotely and basically can choose wherever they want to live. And so we need to look at that as a community too, and how we attract some of those people to our community, because in my mind, I think we've got an awful lot to offer people to live in our community.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree. I've moved away several times, but I always find my way back to Hayes, and this is where my wife and I want to be permanently. And we've lived all over the place, including some major metropolitan areas, and we wouldn't call any place else home. other than Hayes. But, you know, I think this is something that we've talked about at length. You've even hit on it a little bit today. I think housing is going to be key to being able to even be in the conversation of recruiting people from metro areas.
It's interesting because he put up a little chart. It's kind of like if you've ever seen Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where it starts at the bottom with food and shelter as primary, and then you kind of go on up. And he said exactly that if you don't have your housing problem resolved, you don't stand a chance in this game. So I feel good that we're doing some things as a community to deal with some of that, whether it be the Overland Park Group's project or the Heart of America project or the project in Ellis with the lots, because we do have a serious housing problem in Ellis County. You know, I talked about that a little bit at the luncheon the other day. I think there's like 50 homes for sale in all of Ellis County right now, and that's down from 110 a year ago.
Wow.
You know, we don't have the inventory. So you say this person who wants to relocate from wherever it is, and they think Hayes has a lot going for it. They like the, you know, the four-year college, and we're a safe community and a great medical center. But then they come and start looking for homes, and they can't find anything. Well, you don't get to first base in that situation. So housing is a critical factor, and we've got to resolve that issue. You know, and I think we are doing the things we need to, but we may need to even be more aggressive than we are.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, projects like that, they don't happen quickly, right? There's just nothing you can do outside of just pouring a ton of money at a problem like that.
Well, the challenge with these projects like this, and I've learned a lot through this Heart of America project with the RHID, it just takes a long time to get the project going, you know, to get it approved regulatory-wise. And then it just takes a long time to put in infrastructure. You know, you don't just go out and start building a house. You've got to have water, sewer, electric, gas, streets, you know, all of that stuff. And it takes a long time. So if we started the process on one today, we're probably 2 years away from where somebody could start, you know, building homes. So we need to be thinking ahead of the curve a little bit here, because if we want to be positioned to attract some people, we've got to put the pieces in place ahead of time. You know, it's the old "if you build it, they will come" kind of philosophy.
Okay. Well, Doug, I want to shift gears here a little bit. There's something else we want to talk about this morning, and that is your Youth Entrepreneurship Challenge. We've talked repeatedly about how important entrepreneurship is, and especially developing that in the youth in the region. How did it go this year?
Well, it went pretty well. As you can imagine, it wasn't quite what it has been in the past in terms of number of participants. And that kind of thing. We ended up with 8 participants, which was great. They were all from Hayes High, and they gave programs on a wide variety of topics. And just to quickly explain what this is a program sponsored by Network Kansas, where they try and encourage entrepreneurship but within young people. And these kids, in this particular case, most of these kids are in Silas Hibbs' business class at Hayes High, and part of their project is to develop a business idea and then develop a trade show booth where they make a little presentation about what their idea is, and they put together a little trade show booth, and then it's judged by 3 judges. We had, as I said, 8 participants. We had 3 judges locally. We had Sarah Bloom with the DHDC, Dallas Hazelhorse, who's a local entrepreneur, and Sarah LaRoche from Network Kansas. And it was won by Lauren Wagner, who is the daughter of Eric Wagner, who has Showcase Jewelers here. So an entrepreneur, his entrepreneur daughter, won the competition with a Eleve Arts company, where she had the concept of doing training to people for dance and different types of activities. And then Weston Hoskins was second place with a car detailing business. And Shelby Alexander was third with a holiday decorating business where they come and decorate your home and that kind of thing. And the interesting thing about, you know, a lot of these businesses, these kids are actually doing it. They've got these businesses and they're doing these activities. So it's not just something they sat in class and dreamed up. And in many cases, it's a reality. But it went off real well. We were questioning whether we were going to get this done in 2020 or not, but I'm glad we did. It was a good program.
You know what I like to hear? These businesses, you know, you mentioned like the car detailing. That's not a groundbreaking idea. You know, not entrepreneurship isn't always like coming up with the next iPhone or Google. Sometimes it's just finding a solid business plan and putting it in the right spot.
Well, absolutely. I agree with that completely. And sometimes it's finding an existing business and putting new energy and new ideas into that existing business with an entrepreneurial spirit. So it can be all of the above. And I think it you're right. It doesn't have to be a earth-changing idea. It can be fairly simple, but bringing some different ideas and some different energy to it.
Sure. Now, and you mentioned like some of these budding entrepreneurs are already doing these businesses. You know, how important is it for parents to encourage, you know, their 16, 17 year old to, you know, launch into an entrepreneur or basically start their own business rather than go to work in, say, a restaurant where they're washing dishes or waiting tables?
Well, I think parental support is critical. And, you know, I pointed out that, The winner was the daughter of a local entrepreneur. You know, Eric has got a jewelry store here and some other businesses. And I think that you see that mindset and that spirit permeate from generation to generation lots of times. So the support and the thoughts from the parents are always important. And clearly we're continuously trying to build this community of entrepreneurship, this environment where it's supported and it's fostered, and these people have resources, whether it be parents or other peers and mentors that they can go to and try and help them. But that's what we're trying to do is make it very much mainstream in our local community.
Excellent. Well, Doug, we're out of time. We got to get to news. But any last thoughts real quick before we go?
Well, I just, I just want to point out again that it was a terrific 2020, and I know we're not done yet. We still have some things we can get done, and really looking forward to finishing up some of these projects in 2021 and getting off to a fast start, COVID-free or COVID kind of in the rearview mirror at some point in time soon.